Philippians tonight, if you will. And going to a portion of God's Word that kind of like some of those weather patterns, sometimes they just hover, you know. It just seems like the Holy Spirit of God has said, just, you're not through yet. You're not through yet. I'd like to just give a title for some thoughts that I share from a pastor's heart tonight on how to stay on a victory course. I've ministered from the fourth chapter. I've ministered a time or two from different phases of it, even this morning on rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But how do we stay? That's all right. Thank you. Thank you. How do we stay on a victory course? I want to stay on a victory course, don't you? Victory is not just something we enjoy on Sunday or on Sunday morning or in a revival or a special service when we have a special speaker. But the thing that God has made real to me, I know the entire Word of God is wonderful and real, and the other writings of Paul are just timeless. They're awesome. I mean, thank God for the epistles that are written to us by Paul. I'm constantly amazed at the wisdom and the anointing and the richness and the practicality of the Word of God. When you do what the Word says to do, good things happen. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. When you do what God said to do, good things happen. When you do what God said to do about salvation, you get saved. When you do what the Word of God said to do about the Holy Spirit, you receive the Holy Spirit. So Philippians, the fourth chapter, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And then he goes on to speak to those that are having some difficulty, and he said, the latter part of verse 2, be of the same mind in the Lord. He didn't tell us to be the same as someone else, but to be of the same mind. That means that our minds are led by and directed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on in verse 3 to say, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's not a wish. That is a command of God. And the peace of God, you know, that just feels good to say it. And the peace of God, there's not peace everywhere you go. There's not peace in everyone's life wherever you go. But the Bible said here that the peace of God, the peace of God, hallelujah, let it be in your life, the peace of God. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. I believe it's the Amplified that said, don't be over anxious about anything. About anything. Nothing. But in everything, every circumstance, every thought, things that come to us throughout the day and will be throughout the week, in everything, how do you handle it? By prayer, and sometimes you put a little more prayer into it. For some reason, some things go very quickly, and for some reason, other things, it takes a little more prayer. It takes a little more faith, a prayer of faith. But it said, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Talk to God about it. As I've often said, if it's worth worrying about, it's certainly worth praying about. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? You can't explain it. You can't buy it. You can't barter for it. But the Word of God tells you how to have it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And then Paul said in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, just do it. I will read that one more time. Those things which you have both learned. How much have we all learned? How much have we all heard? How many speakers have we heard? And I was challenging the ministers the other evening. Thank God for teaching. Thank God for teaching. Thank God for Bible faith teaching. And we desperately need that. The Corinthian church needed some teaching. They had a lot of power gifts, but they needed to be taught how to live. But Paul said, those things that you've learned, or have we really learned it? What have we really learned? And the things that we have received, we not only learned them, we received them. And we heard them over and over again. We heard them from Pastor Nichols. We heard them from the staff. We heard them from different people coming through. We've heard. And the things that you've seen. I just think of the things I've seen in the three locations of our church since we started in 1964. I've seen some things. You say, where do you get all those stories? Well, it comes out of a lot of living. How do you know so much about people? Well, I've been there. Amen. That's called experience. But Paul said, just summarizing it all. See, this is what a ministry is all about. You learn things. You not only hear those things, you know they're right, but you've got to receive that. You've got to receive that for it to work in your life. And then hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why I've heard some things thousands of times, but I need to hear them thousands of more times. Thank God for every time I've heard it. But there's times life will beat it out of you. I mean, circumstances, a hard week or difficulties will wear you out if you're not careful. But the things that you've learned, see, during the week is when verse 9 kicks in. During the week is where verse 9 kicks in. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Paul said, you have seen the gospel in me. He didn't say, I'm perfect. And what do we have except that which we've received from the Lord? We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But Paul said, you've seen the gospel in me. You've not only heard the gospel from me, you've seen the gospel in me. You've watched the gospel acted out, faithed out in me. Maybe not in every circumstance, but enough to let you know which way to go and what to do. But he said, the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do it. And you know, that's the thing I was just saying there. Great teaching. We have great teaching available in this church. And that's what the Conquerors Club is all about. It's not just another preaching service. It's teaching to strengthen the home. That was the original purpose and intent. It's teaching to strengthen the home. As much as you've heard about marriage, it won't hurt you to hear some more about marriage. And there's different things that you've heard before, but you need to hear them again. Because marriage is one of the most important things. If you're married, marriage and a good marriage and harmony in your marriage helps the rest of it. Stories say makes the medicine go down, but that's not accurate either. But it what you hear keeps things going in the right direction. Amen. I mean, when something hits the divorce court, somebody didn't give a rip. Somebody didn't care. Somebody didn't care enough to suck in and swallow and say, I'm willing to change. You know, life is constant change. Well, that may be as far as we can get, but let's just go into it very quickly. I know you've heard it. I know I've ministered. I haven't finished this particular chapter in Philippians, but let's go the distance and see how quickly God can help us to get into it. Here is the relationship that keeps a church on a victory course. You know, we look at ministries that are going very well and strong and this, that, and the other, and I'm not going to call names here, but we could put our church name, but I mean, I could name three or four or five strong ministries that today are strong ministries. But I knew the head of those ministries, and I've had some association, a lot of association with those ministries when things weren't going that well. I remember Kenneth Copeland in a meeting years ago, and things were rough, and he said, I just told Gloria, he said, we may just have to put it all in the back of the car, in the trunk of the car, and hit the road and start out like we go back to where we started out. Is that a negative? No. But things were rough. And that's been years ago, of course, now. I remember hearing Andrew Womack making virtually the same statement. We were in a board meeting, and two of the board members said, you know, we can't make it. And that wasn't what I said. I said, we can make it, but we're going to have to hold steady here. All of us hold steady in our faith. And we did. And, you know, just right after that board meeting, a good check came through that just put everything back where it should have been. Praise the Lord. You know, there's times in every ministry, every church goes through times of testing. Amen. They tell you the success stories, but they don't always tell you between the lines. We all like to tell you our success stories. But as I mentioned in one of the sessions, I said, you know, leadership's lonely. And there's times that it looks like you're pinned against the wall. There's times you have a lot of people around you, and there's times you can't find a soul. I mean, there's a lot of people that would help me any way I needed help. But I still hit times, and I hit it quite often, when I can't find a soul. I can't find a soul. I guess I could scream, but I can't, for the moment, I can't find a soul. We all face moments of loneliness. We all face moments when only God can help us. You know what you face on the inside. But here is the relationship that, here it is, folks. Churches are not built on division. They're not built on strife. They're not built on controversy. Good churches are not built on warring among people and factions. Amen. If you just can't handle things, then go where it's perfect and spoil it. You know, that's what I've said for years. But here is the relationship, and it touched my heart because seven intimate expressions of a true pastor, shepherd, apostle by the name of the Apostle Paul. You know how Paul felt about people? Now, I've heard preachers. I don't think I've heard anybody cuss. Yeah, I think I remember a time or two. See, I've been doing this a long time, you know. But some people aren't real happy with the people around them. Some people just don't like people. I said, well, it's not the ministry, it's the people. Your train's off the track. You need to go to the prayer room. Amen. You got to love people to go forward. Got to love people to do the work of God. But he said, therefore, notice Paul's intimate expression. And I'm telling you, it's amazing the love that God gives us. Sometimes people say, well, I just didn't know anybody cared. You don't know how people care. And I've seen this church for 52 years. If someone's has the right attitude. I mean, if someone will surface that needs help and reach out. A lot of people need help, but they won't tell anybody. They won't surface. They'll never reach out. Oh, you know, they just don't do it. But I've never seen, I mean, as rough as it can get. And you know, there's a lot of talk about immorality and homosexuality and that type of thing. And I think we went through a lesson years ago that I believe proved at least where this pastor and where this pastor's wife's coming from. Young man was sent to our church who had been in that lifestyle. You've heard me tell the story. Been in that lifestyle. He attended about a year, and one day he said, "I need to have a conversation with you." And I said, "Well," so we did. And he said, I know you don't know, but then he confessed the battle that he had in his life. Now, he'd given his heart to Jesus, but he was still having some struggles. And I said, "I've known that for a year." He said, "You're kidding. And you let me come to church?" I said, "Yes." Now, we didn't, there are certain positions, you know, there's wisdom that you have to use in that. And we worked with him, and God did an awesome work. I mean, God gave him complete victory. And I never will forget, you know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. His mother came down with cancer. Had a Baptist family. His mother came down with cancer, and those of us that knew something about it, we prayed about it. We prayed about it. And, you know, in spite of everything, some people make it and some people don't. I don't have all the answers. God has all the answers. And one day we'll know. But one way or another, they get healed. Amen. And I love to, I believe in the laying on of hands. I believe that Jesus is a healer. But long story short, she didn't pull through. She passed away. And after that service, then he let he just went into depression, went back to the Dallas community that he came out of. The night he went back was the night that AIDS entered his life. And it took a little while for that all to surface. And he called me one day, said, "I need to have another conversation with you." I said, "Well, I've been missing you." We talked to him, and he said, "This is what the doctors say." He said, "I won't be back." He said, "You and Sister Joy have..." He said, "I didn't know churches could show love like Calvary. I didn't know a minister and his wife." He said, "I thought when you found out, even originally, the lifestyle I'd had, that you'd asked me not to come back." I said, "Dear Lord, no. Where, you need to come where you can get some help, you know." And I said, I'll tell you what. You're going to come and sit by my wife on the front row." And that, we were in the downtown location. He came and sat, and I'll tell you, God did such an awesome work. I was ready to preach to a house full of homosexuals when his memorial service came up. I really was, because he had been deeply into a certain segment of the Dallas community and had a lot of things went on there. Do you know that only one showed up? Hallelujah. The power of God had so separated him from that old life to where no one even wanted to come to his funeral. Hallelujah. God had done the work, and he got everything right. And before he left, he said, I'm believing for God, for the Lord to heal me and raise me up. But he said, if he doesn't, he said, I know where I'm going. Thank you for the love that you've shown. Thank you for the love that you've shown. That's the spirit of this church. And don't you ever let anybody tell you that's not the spirit. Now, if someone wants to cause strife and division and cause trouble in this church, we got another problem right there. I can be just as strong on one side as I am on the other. You're not going to mess with something that we've all given our life for yea, these many years. But Paul said, my brethren, you're my brothers. You're my sisters. Remember the little chorus we sing, you're my brother, you're my sister. Hallelujah. We are brothers and sisters. And the love that we feel for the sheep, the love that a true pastor feels for the sheep. I'm not a side door pastor. I have my limitations. I can't stay here all night, you know, in that respect. But I'm telling you, I'm not a side door pastor. And if that's the only way you can get the gospel, get it on television, get it on flat screen, do whatever you want to. But try to call and get a little pastoring. Try to call and get a little help from a church. We've seen that. Well, we'll leave that one alone. My brothers, my sisters, you're my dearly beloved. I love you. I love you. In spite of all the craziness that we've helped you come through, we love you. Hallelujah. And long for my joy. Isn't that strange that you'd say that another believer was your joy? Well, the joy of the Lord is the real big joy. But, you know, we are one another's joy. And my crown, Paul said, you're my crown. You're part of my crown. You're part of the payoff for the ministry. It's not just up here preaching, preacher man up here just preaching, but you're my crown to see what God's doing in your life. Stand fast in the Lord. That's what I want to see. That's what I preach to see. That's what we pray to see. Stand fast. No matter what you're facing, stand fast. Don't run away from church. Run back to church just as quickly as your little feet can run if something goes astray. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Well, there's seven expressions there. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, there were a couple of women that were really getting into catfights. I'm telling you, it was, and he said, you work with, tell them to be of the same mind in the Lord. Amen. Be of the same mind in the Lord. I don't think that needs any interpretation, does it? And then he also said, also those true yoke fellows, help those women which labored with me in the gospel and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. If there's anybody we ought to get along with, it's one another in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean we see everything just exactly alike. Doesn't mean that we're all just cookie cutters or we all just say the same thing. I'm talking, but in what really matters, we are alike. We are alike. We come together as one. That's what a real family is all about, if it's got any character at all. You may have some differences, but when a real issue comes, we come together and we stand together and we come through in the name of the Lord. Then, of course, this morning we ministered again along the lines of rejoice in the Lord always. You know, I'm working on that in a whole new way in my own life. It's time that we rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Now, you've lost your joy since this morning. I said it's time to rejoice in the Lord. I said it's time to rejoice in the Lord. I'm not spiritual enough to rejoice about everything that comes to my life. I'm working on that. But we can always, dear God, if you can't rejoice in the Lord, you got a problem. Rejoice in the Lord. And then he knew there would be a need for that. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Well, rejoice. Got a bad text or you got a bad letter or something happened on the job. Whatever's happening in your life, just rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. And let your moderation, verse 5, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Folks, Jesus is coming soon. You say, when's he coming? He's one day closer. Amen. And the teaching of the Word of God, this is one of the eras of some of the, well, and it's some old heads that started some of the, well, it didn't start it, it's just reoccurring. Any wrong doctrine has been cycling in, cycling out for years. There's nothing new under the sun. I remember when I was back in Bible college, some guy got the wise, you know, this rapture thing, Jesus not coming. Lord's not coming back, Lord. He said, I've heard that all my life. I said, I have too. I've heard it ever since I've been a little bitty boy. Amen. I've heard that Jesus is going to return. I've heard that. You've heard that. We have heard that. But he's still coming back. He's a coming back. And the Bible said he's coming back you can't even blink an eye. He's coming back just that quick. As crazy as this world is, there will be a moment when the coming of the Lord is going to be like a window shade going up the wall. Praise God. It's going to happen. And You know, when I do memorial services, I try not to stand on the headstone, because if the trump of God sounds, I don't want to get hit going up. Praise God. Amen. But the Bible tells us, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Well, you believe that, so in a church like this, I don't have to stay there. Be careful for nothing. Nothing. Turn to the person on either side of you and say, nothing. Nothing. Say it in Texan. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Be careful. Don't be over anxious about anything. It's not worth it. Get your blood pressure up. Messes you up. Messes up your digestive system. Amen. You heard what we said this morning, Mayo Clinic. They've discovered that happy people heal faster. Happy people heal faster. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Well, how in the world can you do that? Well, pray about it. If it's worth worrying about, it's certainly worth praying about it. If you pray in faith, believing, supplication with thanksgiving, you let your request be made known unto God, something that just seemed totally impossible will absolutely fall into place. Praise God. You know, verse 7. Wouldn't it be wonderful on Monday, with all that happens on Monday, to live all day long in the peace of God? Live all day long on the peace of God. I'm going to have to hurry because I'm just about through. The peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God. You know, I'm thankful for the right part of folks that talk to us on the radio that tell, you know, the right thing, tell us the right truth. But you can't do that 8 hours a day. You'll be so mad you'll slug somebody. You know, there's some crazy things going on in the world, but we would not know what's going on. As sneaky as things are nowadays, as full of lies as things are nowadays, you wouldn't know nothing about nothing if somebody didn't ferret some of that out and tell you. And that's one of the big problems about this election. Some people don't have a clue what's going on in our nation. They don't have a clue where we started years ago. They don't have a clue how this nation was raised up by God. They don't know anything. Sometimes I think we ought to just plant Tim Dersham in our pulpit and just say, Tim, just have at it. Go after it. Thank God for David Barton. If you don't have some David Barton material, you need to read David Barton. His material is accurate. If there was ever a man sent from God, it's David Barton and his son and that whole family. Those people are dedicated to America under God. And we've known them. Joy prayed with David's mother for years. They were prayer partners. And we've known these people. These are people of truth and character. David Barton can hold his own with anybody. He has a chip in his brain that I think God gave him the moment he was born. I've seen him on television. I marvel at the wisdom that God has given to that man. If any man knows what America is all about, David Barton is that man. He's a man sent from God, just as much as any other signs, wonders, miracles, whatever you want to say. Thank God. And now, he's held steady long enough to where almost every ride-on major ministry has had David Barton on their television program, and they've listened to what he has to say. Folks, there's a lot at stake in this day and hour. There's a lot at stake. And there's some people, I talk to people, don't have a clue. It's not about black and white and brown and yellow. No. It's not altogether about Democrat and Republican. It's about godly values. That's not my message, but I still, we need to think. I'm not hearing enough people say just one issue alone, the Supreme Court. One issue alone, the Supreme Court. And God's grace, I know. Thank God, if I didn't know God's grace, I'd be climbing a pole somewhere probably. Amen. But oh, the grace of God. But if the election goes liberal, You mark my word. We got 40 years and I'm not going to live that long. But my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my family's going to live. I'll tell you, we better vote right and think right. And I've said it before, but you know exactly what I'm saying. You say, well, if I have to hold my nose, you learned how to hold your nose when you were a kid. Come on, just get a hold of your nose and do what you know you need to do. Amen? Just do what's right. Do the best right you possibly can do. Amen? Kind of like Salvation Army, doing the most good. Do the most good you can do with your vote. All right. And if that makes you mad, you need to get born again. I said, you need to get born again. It's just our nation. And we have the greatest nation on the face of the earth. All right? Peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep. Reckon we could live one day with the peace of God? The peace of God keeping our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God. It's been, oh, gracious, it's been, of course, back in the other location downtown. But we had a situation in the church, and I'd had to deal with something, and they were just not respectful at all, and I won't go into much more detail than that, but I mean, it was just not pleasant to deal with. I mean, just yucky, you know, just not pleasant to deal with. And I left that. That's when we were getting one of the loans, and they were demanding that we have a $1 million policy on me and to go ahead with that particular loan. And this has been years ago. So I went to the house and I called the man that was coming to give me the examination or whatever. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll just come out to your house. I said, I've just had a very disturbing day. He came out to the house. He said, man, he said, I don't say that you need to go to the hospital, but he said, you're in no shape to be checked out for anything. I didn't realize how it had affected me. When you deal with something terribly unpleasant, when you deal with something that just challenges you to your, you know, it's just, thank God you hardly ever have to face something like that, but I did that day. He said, I tell you what, I've got a lot of things I need to do. Why don't I come back in about 4 hours and you just lie down here in your house? And he said, I'll come back and give you another examination. He had all the things that he needed for that. Came back in 4 hours. He said, man, You're perfect. Letter perfect. Letter perfect. You see, I didn't realize. I knew it was an upsetting situation, but I didn't realize how severe. What you go through, what you hear, what you encounter, if you don't watch it, it'll disturb your heart and it will disturb your mind. There's a lot of people have heart attacks just over something that could have been avoided. Don't let the devil flip your switch. When you're dealing with something, just count to 10, pray in tongues for an hour, read the Word of God, and there's some things you don't need to deal with right now. Just back off and give God a chance to get you settled down. Amen. Amen. We all know when we're fired up and when things are just rubbing us raw. We know that. You know that. But the Bible said here, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, and I'm going to wind up with this because we've already dealt on verse 9, verse 8. Here is the thought life. Here is the life of a faith champion. Here's the checkout right here in verse 8. Finally, brethren, brothers and sisters, is it true? Yeah. All right, drop it. Well, I heard. Yeah, I heard you got more people in trouble. Amen. Amen. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, is it true? Is it true beyond the shadow of a doubt? Or is it hearsay? Or is it gossip? whatsoever things are honest. Is it honest? Is it just? Just? Whatsoever things are pure. Boy, that's one that's very important nowadays. Everywhere you look, it's hard to watch a football game. You know, we watch the Super Bowl, but we have somebody right there on the switch. You can't let the we choose not to let the commercials come through in church, and they shouldn't come through in your home. Your children should not be subjected to that type of thing. Is it pure? Purity. Pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Lovely. Hallelujah. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I've had people tell me, no one's going to tell me what to think. We'll just go ahead and crash and burn. Think on these things. Amen. By letting God control your thought life, it improves your business, it improves your marriage, it improves your relationships, it improves everything in your life. Amen. I'd a lot rather have coffee with a positive thinker than a negative thinker. And you know, this is true even of myself. I consider myself basically to be a positive person. And I've got a lot of things in and around my life I could go negative real quick if I chose to go that direction. And so I'm trying to be very conscious of that. But I've just cried out to God. I said, God, I want to be positive. Scripturally positive. Not blind positive, but scripturally positive. You understand what I'm saying? Not do the wrong thing for the wrong reasons and all that type of thing. But just do a checkup from the neck up and from the neck down. And just say, in the name of Jesus, I like what Andrew says. He says, I'm not going to let anybody rent space in my mind. I've heard him say it so many times. He said it again the other night. I'm not going to give someone the privilege of renting space in my mind. Excuse me. That's my mind. Amen. I'm not going to lease it. I'm not going to rent it, for sure. But think on things that are unto edification. And if there's nothing you can do about it, don't get involved with somebody else's mess. You know, a greater thing than a spirit of offense is you getting involved with somebody else's offense. And the problem about, I've done that. I mean, I want things to be right, and I have ministry friends, and there are things that don't always go right. But the problem is, if you take on somebody else's offense, they've already got it settled, and they forgot to tell you, and you're mad about that 2 years later. Do you follow me? When you get involved with somebody else's offense, you don't know when they chose to turn that offense off. So you're carrying this negative thing, and they're going on down the road. And you picked up another monkey more so than you can handle. Hallelujah. Thank you for shouting. Maybe we better go back to verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. We're doing real good on that one, rejoice in the Lord. But you know, isn't it wonderful that God gave us the choice of what did Dale Gentry said? I can be mad or I can be glad. Amen. I can be sad or I can be glad. The choice is mine. And I'm human. I don't always make the right choice. But I tell you what, I'm on a short rope nowadays. Man, I tell you, I say God jerked the slack out of me. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Just don't let something ruin your day. Don't let someone ruin your week. Don't let someone have a negative effect in your life. And then, of course, we've already said it, those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen me do. Here's the thing, and I don't want to go any further into Philippians right now. This is what keeps a church strong. This is what keeps a family strong. This is what keeps friendships, the right kind of friendships, strong. If we will stay tight together in the things of God, hell can't shake us. Hell can't shake us. Hell can't shake us. I had to make some of the most, well, the most serious decisions of my life up to that point when the tornado came. It looked totally impossible. I didn't have to use my faith to continue on. I didn't have to use my faith for the church to continue on. I mean, whatever part was mine, I'm not the only one believing, Randy, by a long shot. I don't mean that. But I chose to continue to believe in our Christian school. I chose to believe that Fort Worth needs a church like Calvary Cathedral International. I chose to keep on believing that a church that basically believes the things that we've believed now for these many years. In building strong marriages, like with the Conquerors Club and the New Conquerors Club, there's a definite purpose. Everything we do, it's built on the Word of God. Outreach, it's built on the Word of God. Radio, I mean, I meet people all the time. People know my voice. It's surprising sometimes. The people that hear my voice, I know that voice. I don't see anything distinguishing about my voice. I mean, I just don't have a sensitivity personally about that. But there's a lot of people that seem to do that. And I have people all the time, they don't know me. Well, I wondered what you looked like, but I heard your voice. And that's you, Bob Nichols. Yeah, that's me. That's me. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's choose to do the right thing. Let's choose to not quit. Let's choose to, no matter what someone else does, God put us on this earth for a purpose. And I believe with every fiber of my being, I'm alive tonight because God still has a work for me to do. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. I've got so many breaks around me, so many breaks that want to slow me down, turn it here, do yada, 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 yada. But I believe with all of my heart that God still has a work and God has a purpose and God has a call. And just seeing even the result of some of these young lions there this last week has given me just a new hope. There's a thing going around. You know, young guys don't want to hear what the old guys have to say. Well, I understand that. Our ways aren't perfect, and I know life marches on. But I tell you what, there's a wisdom. There's a wisdom. I've been a seeker of truth ever since I started in the ministry. Every time I get close to somebody, I'm a seeker of truth. I'm a seeker of truth. I was a seeker of truth with Gordon Lindsay. I was a seeker of truth with Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. I've been a seeker of truth. I want to learn. I traveled 20,000 miles with a former staff member who never asked me one thing about this ministry, trying to share some things about the ministry. 20,000 miles, and wisdom was available. Never tried to even tried to drum up some understanding in their own world. You know, we need to learn. We need to grow. Praise God. I learn. I learn every day I live. I do. I'm learning I've learned this last week. I've learned this last week. You said, well, you know it? No, I don't know. No, I'm learning. I'm a learner. I'm still learning. Praise God. And the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit, He'll teach you what you need to know at the right time. There's some things you don't need to know at a certain time in your life. Then there's a time you need to know that. There's a time the rest of your life depends on what you know then and where you go. Oh, praise be unto the Lord. That's another story, another time. Stand with me tonight, if you will. Those things which you have both heard and seen and learned in me, Paul said, do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Are you hungry for God? I believe you are. You know, we're going to pray tomorrow night. Now, folks, listen to me. I know we need to do more than pray. We've got to be informed. We've got to be informed. And we've got to vote. It's a sin. I'm not going to withdraw. It's a sin not to vote in this election. It's a sin to throw away a vote with a candidate that there's no way they can win. I mean, that's stupid. Well, I'm going to make a statement. Yeah, you're making a dumb statement is what you're making. You're helping us get a Supreme Court that could hurt. There's only two people that have the possibility of winning. There's only two candidates that have the possibility of winning. And it's a fairly close race. You need to righteously ask God to show you what's best for our nation. What is the platform? What do they believe? Amen. What do they believe? No one's perfect. Neither Democrats nor Republicans. But, you know, we need the mind of Christ. I want us to pray about 3 or 4 minutes. See, Monday's coming. There'll be decisions made in our nation tomorrow. We'll pray tomorrow night. But I wonder how many would just pray with me before we leave tonight. Let's just come and stand for a moment here. And let's pray in the Spirit over our nation. This is not a praying in the Spirit to be interpreted. It could be. I'm always open to that. But this is praying over our nation. Praying over our nation. Was it Dwight Eisenhower in God We Trust? Who was responsible for that? But I mean, who? Dwight Eisenhower. Yeah. Dwight Eisenhower. One man was responsible for getting that through. And I don't think that he was recognized as, you know, he wasn't a bad man, but not recognized being a super spiritual man. But something in his heart said, in God we trust. In God we trust. One man, one woman, Esther, one woman, one man, righteousness. That's what we're talking about. We're not bashing anybody. But I'm crying out to God for our nation tonight. Amen. I've lived the majority of my life, and I still have life to live. And I thank God for that. But I have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We have families. We want to leave a godly heritage, don't we? As much as is possible. Lord, would you come and lead us in prayer? Lead us in prayer.
In Isaiah 62:6, God said, I have set the watchman, hallelujah, on the wall. I have set the watchman, hallelujah, that he will speak what he hears, hallelujah. Glory to God. He will speak what he sees in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Father, I thank you. We stand before you this evening as watchmen, hallelujah, that God has set in place in a specific time and in a specific hour in our land, oh God. Hallelujah. Jesus told his disciples, what you hear me say in the darkness, you speak it in the light. Hallelujah. He also went on to say, what you hear me speak, hallelujah, you shout it on the housetops in the name of Jesus. This is the time for righteousness to stand up and speak as never before. As Brother Morocco said when he was here, he said, is there anybody on top of the hill? Hallelujah. Is there anybody on top of the hill? Hallelujah. As Moses stood on the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur lifting up his hands. Hallelujah. They were watching. They weren't in the battle. They were watching the battle. There's a battle in array for our nation right now. Hallelujah. And we are standing on top of the hill. Amen. We're standing in the gap. We're making up the hedge for our land because we declare we are one nation under God. Hallelujah. We declare in God Almighty we trust. Hallelujah. And there is no other God in their land. Hallelujah. Just like Israel said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There are no other gods." Hallelujah. "There are no other lies and deception in this land. In the name of Jesus, we declare Jesus Christ Lord over the United States of America." Hallelujah. We say thank you, Lord, that you have set the watchman in place for this hour, for this land. Hallelujah. We declare we shall possess our land in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we cry out. Our hearts cry. Our heart's desire is for righteousness in our land. Righteousness in the high places of our land. Righteousness in the Supreme Court of our land. God, we stand in the gap, God, for our nation. Hallelujah. God, we repent for the sins of our nation in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you to forgive us, God, that we have let people get in the high offices of this land that have no place there in the name of Jesus. They have no right there in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, your plan from the very beginning was that righteousness would rule and reign in the high places, in the high offices of our land. Hallelujah. God, you said in 2 Samuel 23:3, that just men that rule over men must be just. Hallelujah. Must be, not should be. They must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Hallelujah. God, we declare that for our land. Hallelujah. That the next president of the United States of America will be just, ruling in the fear of Almighty God. In the name of Jesus, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallelujah. In the office of the president of the United States of America, we take it back in the name of Jesus. We take it back for the glory of Almighty God. We take it back because Jesus is Lord in this land. Hallelujah. Shikaradabaso. We say, devil, you can't take our land. You're not going to steal our children in the name of Jesus. Enough of the lies. Enough of the deception in the name of Jesus. We take it back. Hallelujah. Truth will reign. Righteousness will reign in this land in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As a watchman, do not hold your peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said the watchman doesn't sleep day or night. Hallelujah. Ready to play, to pray, ready to believe, ready to speak what you see and speak what you hear in the name of Jesus. We say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We will stand on top of the hill. Hallelujah. As a watchman. Glory to God. And just as Moses experienced the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We will see the victory in our land. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, so kohalede asahaya. Oh, la de osoho yakiasi. Oh, la de kiasoho yakiasa. Oh, la de kosoho yakiasa. La de akabasoho yasi. Oh, la hayaka. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. In 1 John. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:3. Hallelujah. John wrote, he said, even today, even now, the spirit of Antichrist is in the earth. Hallelujah. But the next verse says, hallelujah, but ye are of God. Hallelujah. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who that is in you than he that is in the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we just thank you. Hallelujah. We are of God and have overcome them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you. The greater one, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is in us. God, we thank you. Your word says there's more that be with us than that be with them. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you. We just give you all glory and all honor and all praise. We thank you that you are at work in our land. Hallelujah. God, we just proclaim again, Jesus Christ is Lord over the United States of America. Hallelujah. One nation under God. In Jesus' name, Amen.
I want us to pray one final prayer. I want us to pray the fear of God will come across this land. Fear of God. The news media is beyond being biased. Beyond being biased. Father, we pray for the fear of God across our land tonight. In me, in all of us, in Washington. Lord, we've been slapped with $20 trillion of debt, and no one even seems to be thinking about that. My kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids are going to be saddled with that. God, help us. Let the fear of God, don't let any last-minute stroke of the pen put us in any further bondage as a nation than we are right now. Lord, they've tried to warn me in New Zealand and Australia 8 years ago. What in the world are you voting in a Muslim for? They'd done research that we were blind as a bat here in the United States. We faced that in Australia and New Zealand. It shocked me. I thought, well, they don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, they knew what they were. They'd done research. They knew. God, truth. Could we just say truth? Reveal truth. Not what Bob Nichols thinks, but truth. Not what any of us thinks, but truth. The head of our FBI tells us of wrong, but the FBI refuses to do anything about it. We're in trouble. So, Father, we're crying for the fear of God. The men who signed the Declaration of Independence, it cost most of them their fortunes and their lives. But they were willing to stand up and pay the price for a nation that for well over 200 years has been just a miracle from God. This wonderful nation. Lord, I've been in other nations. I've been far away in other nations. Never forget kissing the ground when I came home from India years ago, when I saw the poverty that was there. Of course, part of India now is doing well. But poverty prevails in so much of our world. Oh, God. God, help America. God, we call America back to revival. We call, Father, for spiritual revival in America. And this is one church that stands for it. This is one pastor that stands for it. One of the leading evangelical ministers and authors of many books publicly said how he would or would not vote because he didn't want to offend any of his people. God, give us some spiritual guts. Give us guts to get out of the ruts, Lord, and do what's right. Help us in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I'm not trying to perpetrate a spirit of doom and gloom. We're just doing what I believe the Word of God admonishes us to do. We're crying out for righteousness, and we're asking you, Lord, to help us. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name across this nation, from the White House to the least house of our nation. Send spiritual revival, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, the Lord bless you. 1 hour of prayer tomorrow evening. 6 o'clock until 7. One clean hour. Give us maybe 5 minutes sometimes. Not trying to put God in a box, but we're crying out for our nation. God bless you.
God bless America.